If you could get people to do one thing differently in their presentation, what would it be? I teach several presentation skills classes each week. The participants are all smart people with promising careers in science, who have published papers and presented in English at international conferences. After I have seen their presentations, I always try to give some concrete advice on how to improve for next time. Here, I introduce the things I frequently tell people to do differently. I hope you find them interesting and that you are able to use some of them in your presentations.
1. Have an anchor at the beginning of your presentation.
Many presenters provide examples of the application of their research, pictures of sites, machines, technical setups, and so on. But where do they put these examples? Many people put them at the end of their presentations, almost as if they are some kind of afterthought. This is a mistake. These examples all help to anchor the presentation and give the audience something concrete to visualize and should be at the beginning of your presentation as part of a brief overview or introduction. Changing the position of these examples from the end to the beginning of the presentation can have a huge impact. For an example of an anchor used effectively at the beginning of a presentation, see example introduction 3, part 2, on pages 22 to 25.
2. You are here.
In the street outside most train stations in Japan, there are boards with maps of the area showing roads and buildings. Have you ever used one? What did you look for first? It's almost certain that the first thing you looked for is the little sign, mostly in red, saying, "You are here." Without that information, you have no idea where you are and have no way of getting to your destination. In a sense, watching a presentation is much like exiting a train station in a place you are not familiar with. You need a map to know where you are. This means that as a presenter, you should remember to signal your location in your presentation. You can do this by providing a good overview as part of your introduction, and by indicating movement within the presentation. I have already said how important it is to have a framework in your presentation. A framework acts like a map and guides the audience through your presentation. During your presentation, it is important to signal where you are now and also where you are going.
3. Good visuals are only half the battle. You also need to be able to explain what is in your slides.
Slides are a visual media, and that means people access information by looking at something. With PowerPoint, it is possible to present your data visually in a way that the audience can follow easily. Presenters put a lot of effort into producing high-quality slides, and in my experience, are generally successful. But in addition to creating high-quality slides, you need to be able to explain what is in the slide. This is the verbal or spoken element of the slide, which is equally important as the visual element. Without adequate explanation, your audience will find it difficult to process the data you are presenting. So, don't forget to spend time preparing what you are going to say and how you are going to say it. because it's as important as making a great slide.
4. Try to use questions in your presentation.
I constantly try to get people to improve their presentations by using questions. This is a simple technique that is commonly used by native speakers to focus on important information and bring a change of pace in the presentation. Japanese presenters rarely use questions in their presentations. In some presentations I see, there are points where a question could easily be used. For example, I recently saw a young researcher talking about the advantages and disadvantages of a new system. He introduced a slide containing a list of the advantages and disadvantages and simply read through each of them. He could have started his slide by saying, "What are the advantages of this system?" When he had finished talking about the advantages, he could have introduced the disadvantages simply and dynamically by saying, "How about the disadvantages? It's simple and effective. Why not try and include at least a couple of questions in your next presentation? I think you will find it really makes a difference."
5. Grammar advice. Use active and not passive sentences.
The following two sentences have different grammar patterns, but the same meaning. The sample was heated to 25 degrees. We heated the sample to 25 degrees. The first of the two sentences above is in the passive voice and is more appropriate for a scientific paper or a laboratory report. For an oral presentation, it is too formal and overloads the audience. It is much easier and more effective to use an active sentence and say, "We heated the sample to 25 degrees." The problem is, however, that non-native speakers tend to use passive sentences in oral presentations a lot more than native speakers. Recent research has shown that non-native speakers use the passive 30% more than native speakers. Another advantage of using active sentences is that you can use the personal pronouns I, you, or we, which creates a sense of joint effort and belonging in the audience. Use of the passive, however, creates an impersonal effect, closer to the research article than the oral presentation, and results in a less interactive presentation. So my advice to you is to avoid passive sentences in your presentations. Instead, use active sentences which create an informal, lighter atmosphere that includes the audience.
6. It is important to have some movement within your presentation.
Another difference between presentations given by native and non-native speakers is in the amount of movement within the presentation. Non-native speakers tend to move in a straight line from introduction through to conclusion. This is probably because of the pressures of speaking in a foreign language. Native speakers, however, tend to use forward and backward movement in their presentations to help guide the audience. Typical sentences for forward movement are, "I'll talk about that later," "I'll show you that information in the next slide." And for backward movement, typical sentences are, "I'd like to go back to the data in slide 2. I'd like to remind you of the data I showed you in the first few slides."
7. Slow down. It's not a race.
Most presenters tend to rush through their presentations. They do not give their audience the time to take in the information they are presenting. This is particularly true of the conclusion section. I see a lot of presentations where people rush through the conclusion and consequently create a poor impression. It is important to pause after each point that you make in the conclusion. A pause of only a few seconds can make a huge difference.
8. Your conclusion is as important as your introduction.
Some people rush the conclusion, or simply show a conclusion slide with several points and say nothing. Both of these are poor ways of finishing a presentation and create a very flat ending. When preparing your presentation, one piece of advice is to spend as much time preparing the conclusion as you do the introduction. Very often, the conclusion slide looks as if the presenter ran out of time. I often say the following things to presenters. You should have put more effort into the conclusion. You should not have rushed. You should not have written in full sentences, but instead have used notes. What I mean is that the presenter needed to spend more time preparing the conclusion.